Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Monday to you. And how was church yesterday? My, we had I Love My Church Sunday, and what a great weekend we had. We started Saturday night, actually, at 5 o'clock with our chili cook-off and pie bake-off, and my, oh, my, great chilies, tremendous pies, my, oh, my. I think I gained 5 pounds just on Saturday night, and just a great time, great testimonies, a sweet fellowship, and that led us right into yesterday, which was the Lord's Day. And that was a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day together, decisions being made for Christ and guests in the services. And it was just a delightful day with the people of God. God met with us. And I hope God met with you where you were and that you were in your place and that you were a blessing to your church and to your pastor. And that God gave you just what you needed on the Lord's Day to now carry us through the rest of the work week. And so we're looking forward to this week here as we continue to go forward in serving our Lord. Now, if your Bible's nearby, I want you to go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, let me read starting in verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There's a preoccupation here with things that are wrong. Well, like what, Pastor? Pride, pleasures, possessions, popularity, power, position, people-pleasing. The evening Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, the assassin, John Wilkes Booth, stopped in a saloon near the Ford Theater and used alcohol to nerve himself for what was about to be his date with history. One drink, two drinks, three drinks, and on. Later that night, Lincoln's bodyguard, John F. Parker, was distracted while the president and his party were comfortably enjoying the performance of Our American Cousin in the Ford Theater. Charles Forbes, Lincoln's footman, and Francis Burke, Lincoln's coachman, left the Ford Theater with Parker for a drink at presumably the same saloon as John Wilkes Booth had just left. While Parker was distracted in the saloon, the door to the presidential box was left unguarded, and John Wilkes Booth went on the attack and slipped into the presidential box during the performance and shot Lincoln. Those two saloon visits could be the most costly drinks in American history. And it's just like the enemy. Listen, he loves to distract us from our duties and then take advantage of the situation and wreak havoc in our lives. I mean, it may be just a time you feel like, okay, I got things together and going forward for God and I'm comfortable in this situation, and then Satan will mix things up. It could be in relationships. It could be in the ministry. It could be in your marriage. But his plan is always to distract and then attack. Remember, Satan desires, as Jesus said, to sift us like wheat. Why? So he can steal, kill, and destroy us and everything that is good. And what opens the door to all forms of evil in our personal life and relationships is worldliness. Now, when it says love not the world, he's not talking about the globe. He's talking about the worldliness. And what is that? Well, it's he said all that's in the world, here it is. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Lust of the flesh is just doing what I want, what I think, and what I feel. It's the sensual satisfaction. Lust of the eyes is a desire for the finer things of life. The pride of life is a self-satisfaction in who we are and what we have and what we've done. In other words, worldliness is kind of a preoccupation with ease and affluence. Worldliness isn't just about reading certain kinds of magazines or looking at certain kind of websites or being just living for pleasure and spending too much money on yourselves or watching people do that and wanting to be like them. Worldliness, boiled down to its simplest form, is pride and selfishness. It's being resentful when somebody snubs us or patronizes us or shows off. It It means we get offended under every slight that somebody does, that gives to us, or every word spoken against us. Or we cringe when someone else is preferred before us. Worldliness is harboring grudges and nursing grievances and wallowing in self-pity. These are some of the ways in which we evidence a love for the world. See, don't limit worldliness to just external behavior. Worldliness is more than just hanging out with the wrong kind of people. Worldliness is an attitude of the heart that indicates a lack of total, consuming love for God. It's important to remember how much the Lord hates sin. God's wrath is directed towards all forms of ungodliness and sin of worldliness. And when we commit, if we don't commit ourselves to the Lord, if we don't surrender ourselves to Him, we miss God's blessings, but we also experience God's displeasure. Don't fall into the trap of worldliness. We have to focus on that first and greatest commandment of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. So there's no way and no room to fall in love with the world. Now, it must be a problem, or God wouldn't have to put this verse in the Bible. Now, how can I know what's the evidence that I might be having some worldliness creep into my life? Well, let me give you some help. Number one, you get a preoccupation with the things of this life. Oh, we're busy. We are busy people in America. We like to stay active, but the truth is, we can get so busy that we get distracted from Christ and the priorities we ought to have by making Him first. In other words, things preoccupy our minds that are good, but they have little room left over then for what's best. Addressing a national seminar of Southern Baptist leaders, George Gallup said, "We find there's very little difference in ethical behavior between churchgoers and those who are not actively religious. The levels of lying, cheating, stealing are remarkably similar in both groups." Now, at the time he gave this, 8 out of 10 Americans considered themselves Christians. That's not the case anymore, my friend. Yet only about half of them could identify who gave the Sermon on the Mount, and fewer still could recall 5 of the 10 commandments. And only 2 in 10 said they'd be willing to suffer for their faith. So, we have this idea of preoccupation with the things of this life. Hey, I want it good now. Another way you can tell if you're loving this world and not loving Christ as you ought is pride. Pride. Boasting of your importance to the point of being vainglory, as the Bible says. It's just sad to see people who think they're something special when they're not. And pride goes for destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's coming, my friend. You're in for a major disappointment. Pride is an overbearing opinion of yourself. It's an overbearing opinion of your worth, that you're indispensable. But Paul would write, "If anyone thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall." Peter would write, "God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud." So, pride, pleasures. Oh, we our heart sometimes incline itself just to want the old sinful pleasure. But the Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. A recent Barna poll revealed that 70% of men in church in the United States admitted to some type of sexual sin. The proliferation of pornography on the internet and all the sexual innuendos on television, and no wonder. Oh, my friend, road rage and all kinds of things. My pleasure. Possessions. Don't let the cravings to accumulate things overcome your desire to lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven instead of treasure on earth. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Of course, see, rebellion against God can be very gradual, but it will increase in a rapid pace when you let it go and you progress in it. It's like going down the hill. You're going to pick up speed. And there's no knowing where you'll stop. In other words, can I do this or not do this, or go here or not go there? But that's where you've got to seek the Lord. And if Satan can't catch you in a big sin, he'll try to get you in a little one. And if Satan can't make you bad, he'll just make you busy. Too busy for God. Pride, pleasures, possessions, popularity. People are so fixated on how to appear to other people. And then they gravitate to the leader who's popular at the time. Paul said, am I trying to persuade men or God? If I'm trying to please men, if I'm still trying to just please man, I can't be the servant of Christ. Listen, no one's ever popular. It's never been popular to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It does not matter what man thinks. It matters what God knows. And so follow him. Others with power. Some people are possessed with being in control. They're not happy until they sense they have dominance in every situation and every discussion. Paul said, I've learned how to be content in every situation. He talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that he's knocked down but not knocked out. That he bears in his bodies the marks of the Lord Jesus. What if I had a brother who had been murdered? What would you think of me if I daily consorted with the assassin who drove the dagger into my brother's heart? Would you think that I might have been an accomplice in the crime? Well, it was sin that murdered Christ. Would I be a friend to sin? Sin pierced the heart of the incarnate Son of God. How can I love it? Though that was the question from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and that's a good question. But then there's position. Oh, we're in a very competitive society. From the time we're young, there's an emphasis on being the best, getting to the top, getting elected to the office of being president or class president or our CEO or the head of the organization. We oftentimes get very discontent if we're in a job that we call it a dead-end job. In other words, there's no promotion. There's no way to get to a higher position. It's important to remember, God told Jeremiah in a paraphrase, do you seek great things for yourself? Seek them not, for I bring evil upon all flesh. Don't get envious of other people in higher positions. That's immaturity. That's immaturity. And then don't get caught up in people pleasing. Oh, everybody likes around people who appreciate them and wants to get the compliments. But the truth is, we're here not to please man. We're here to please God. Get your affirmation from God. Get your acceptance from him. We're accepted in the Beloved. And as we live for him and obey him, we're accepted of him. Some years ago, musicians noted the errand boys in a certain part of London all whistled out of tune as they went about their work. It was talked about, and some suggested it was because the bells of Westminster were slightly out of tune. Something had gone wrong with the chimes, and they were discordant. The boys did not know where there was anything wrong with the peals, and quite unconsciously had copied their pitch. And so we tend to copy the people we associate with. We borrow thoughts from the books we read, the programs we listen to and watch, and almost without knowing it. And remember, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So God has given us his word, which gives us the true pitch of life and living. Learn to sing by it and not by the tune of the world. Let's follow this admonition. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But let's love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. Let's practice that today. Well, thanks for listening to Words to Encourage Radio. This is Brother Slaybaugh, and I'll look forward to seeing you back on the broadcast again tomorrow. And until tomorrow, remember, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile. sunny smile.